Hello, welcome to another episode of the B-Ball Index podcast on a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am your host this week, Jacob Goldstein, and I am joined by, as always, Tim. Tim, how are you doing?
Jacob, I'm sad. We've lost two games in a row. The good old US of A.
First time since 2002.
It's brutal. The troops lost to Michigan last weekend in football. And now it's first the troops, now the country, man. Things are going downhill.
Yeah, well, it'll happen. But we're not here to talk about that quite yet. We wanted to start off by talking about something that comes out every summer. Every outlet always puts them out, their top 100 players in the NBA for the upcoming season. And this past week, Sports Illustrated put out their top 100 player list for 2020. And while I say it's Sports Illustrated, this year is the first year that it is done just by Rob Mahoney. It was previously done by both Rob Mahoney and Ben Golliver, but Ben Golliver no longer works at Sports Illustrated. He now works for the Washington Post. So for the first time, it's just Rob Mahoney. And that always drums up a lot of controversy. There's always rankings to disagree with, but we at the B-Ball Index disagree with more than just the specific rankings of players. Tim, what do we disagree with?
We disagree with all rankings? Is that how we're framing this?
Correct.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, and we've spoken about this several different times. We'll look at talent. We'll look at impact. These rankings, it's difficult to say exactly what they're going for. I'm guessing they're It's probably some mixture of those two. They're looking at playoff performance. They're trying to weigh most recent performance, but they're looking at multiple years. Mm-hmm. It's just so difficult because, I mean, for a team, this isn't useful. For the players, this isn't very useful. For fans, it's a way to argue about stuff, but it's so hard to compare like a center and a point guard and try to say who's better because they do very, very different things. They're mm-hmm. in different roles, used different ways by different teams. So it's just, it's difficult. It's so hard to weigh everything. And we've seen even as like 2K releases their game, which they did recently, people will complain about more than just the ratings. It turns out this year, the game's been rated lowest of any 2K that's ever been released. But you know, that's always a point of contention as well. So it's such a difficult and in many cases, futile process. Because at the end of the day, it's just a, not even really a talking point. It's more of an arguing point, which is why we've generally tried to stay away from it at B-Ball Index.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so hard to both grade players consistently and come up with an order that makes sense to everyone. And especially when you're just doing such hard, like here's the top 100 guys and not showing which guys are close, where's the gaps, like, where else could you space this guy? Could you see him just at the fifth best player, or is he in the 7-3 range? You know, it just makes it such a impossible task, and it always ends up just upsetting fans. And it's great for clicks. It's great for having something to talk about in the dead of the NBA summer outside of our failure in China, but it's always a futile process that just makes people upset and always has issues. And there's normally hard to find a consistent, at least rubric that someone is grading off of. And it just makes it kind of seem like a hodgepodge of players in just a particular writer's favorite order.
And I'll say in this instance, from the wording at the beginning of the article from Sports Illustrated, it sounds as though there's some sort of formula involved. I believe if I read it correctly, but I would still say that a lot of these just generally come down to what individual people value or think should be valued most. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult to analyze just one team and watch all the games and understand everything and try to adjust for opponents and all of that and usage. It's hard enough for one team. It's so difficult with every single team. So you're not setting yourself up to, I mean, nobody's ever going to agree with you. No, you're never going to have consensus agreeing with you.
No.
With a lot of these, but I mean, in general, it's a good try, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the list loosely follows the order I would expect. So I'll just read off the top 10. And if you want, you can easily find on SA.com their top 100 list if you want to see the whole thing. And they did a great job at least giving solid write-ups on every player and explaining their rationale for each ranking, which I appreciated. So clearly a lot of effort was put into this, and I would suggest giving it a read if you're just curious to find out how a writer is expecting certain players to improve or get worse this upcoming season. But the top 10 is Damian Lillard at 10, Paul George at 9, Nikola Jokic at 8, Joel Embiid at 7, Anthony Davis at 6, James Harden at 5, Stephen Curry at 4, LeBron James at 3, Kawhi Leonard at 2, which is a surprise. And then, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the top player, the reigning MVP. That makes sense. And overall, that top 10 list, I mean, it sounds like the top 10 players in the league to me. The issue I had with it is Kawhi being number 2 is a little surprising, especially because they do make mention in the beginning that they're taking health into account and availability. And Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he sort of helped popularize load management this past season. So it's a little surprising to see him that high. I also don't think he's the second best player in the NBA. But outside of that, you know, it's the list makes sense, which is a good sanity test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen many worse lists. As you said, a lot of thought clearly went into this. Mm-hmm. There's still players here or there that I think are probably too high or too low. If you compare this ranking with that of PIPM from an impact standpoint, and then if we just try to vaguely look at the grades and try to come up with an overall rating, which can be refined, and we could talk about that. Just comparing the three, there are some that the data think they agree, you know, Ben Simmons is probably a little high. Or mm-hmm. somebody like, let's see, Eric Bledsoe is one that in SI's analysis, I believe he was in the mid-40s,
mm-hmm.
46 perhaps, somewhere around there. And he had the 15th best impact by player impact plus minus last season. And he was right around that same spot with the talent grades. So perhaps somebody who is being a little bit underrated and playoff performance and not taking some shots when he was open has that recency bias in our heads there. I would say that most people wouldn't agree that Eric Bledsoe is a top 15 player, but I'd certainly say he's probably in like their low 20s range when you think about how complete of a skill set he's had. He's probably coming off of his best season overall from an impact and talent standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the weakest points is his shooting, which is what was highlighted in the article, but he adds quite a bit to the court. So there's just like a guy who's maybe a little high, another guy who's maybe a little low. But like you said, in general, it's a decent list, and I'd encourage people to give it a look.
It's a good list. There's good rationale behind every pick, which at least helps you if you disagree with something, understand what the writer is seeing in difference compared to what you're seeing, which is always nice. But it would have been great if, and I know people like putting a solid number on something, but it would have been great if instead of just saying Ben Simmons is the 23rd best player, saying he's in this range, because I think range or tiering players does a much better job differentiating players and really showing how close they are to either being better or worse, and that just makes things much more digestible. But that also leads to a lot less argument and conflict and clicks. So
mm-hmm.
yeah. It is what it is.
There's a reason in business where a lot of times on a program or, you know, estimating what your financials are going to be for a quarter or a fiscal year, you give a range. You don't give an exact number or exact mm-hmm. percent, because you don't want to set expectations, not too high or too low, but set expectations too precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a similar approach here would make a lot of sense, especially with how difficult it is to compare players across positions, across offensive roles, in trying to account for all the many different variables that get into how important a player is and how good they are, especially weighing like performance over time and everything like that.
Exactly. It's ultimately a meaningless list, but it's a good read if you want to learn some more about players. And it's, you know, it's pretty well done outside of the font for the numbers they chose for the graphics, which is hard to read.
Yep. But speaking of lists, and speaking of giving players overall ratings, we are looking into doing just that at B-Ball Index. And right now we do, for the purposes of our optimization ratings, we have been using overall offense and defensive ratings for players, but we're looking to improve those, use some better math, incorporate some machine learning, incorporate role, and produce a better end product that hopefully we'll have to be able to touch on a little bit next week on the podcast. Jacob, you want to tease that out just a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So recently we've been working on trying to take the grades and improve our overall offense and defense combinations of the grades. Currently the way it's done is just we're breaking it down by position, and we were kind of combining it just based off the way Tim and I felt made the most sense based off our watching of basketball, our understanding of basketball. But something I've been doing recently is I have been running a machine learning model on the grades compared to player impact plus minus. Machine learning is a buzzword. It really just means anything that the computer does automatically for you. If you run a linear regression in Excel, congratulations, you've done machine learning. But I've been using a model called a random forest model, which essentially makes 1,000 decision tree splits. So let's say you make a decision. You either do something or you don't do something. And because of that, you get to a different outcome. And you do that a bunch of times, and you end up with a random forest model. That's probably the easiest way to explain it. And through that, we've been able to begin calculating how the different offensive roles value different skill sets. The offensive roles, which are derived from synergy play type usage breakdowns. And then combining it with all the grades with height, weight, advanced position, minutes played, we're able to better incorporate everything together to get more precise combinations of the grades depending on person's position. So a spot up shooter, perimeter shooting is it's their most important skill, which I know is going to be surprising, but it's the most important skill to a spot up shooter. Whereas to a pick and roll big, doesn't really matter as much if you're able to spot up, because that's not how you're being utilized.
Yep, so, roll gravity does matter a lot for them.
Exactly. That's their most important skill. So it's just having a computer learn the proper way to combine all these different variables together to make the most accurate overall offense and defense grades we can, based off the talent grades and based off the different roles and optimizations that these players are playing in. So we're both really excited for that. The list, the early tests have been looking pretty good. Need to do a few more things to clean it up.
Yeah, it looks really good, guys. Just taking an early look through everything, it makes a ton of sense. It's incredibly precise, and we're able to project, you know, here's the estimated offensive and defensive and overall player impact plus minus for specific players based off of that. So that has interesting implications. One thing I'm excited to do is once we do clean it up and we spit out all the weightings, and then we're able to solidify those offensive and defensive ratings, we can better calculate our optimization ratings, which will make those a bit more precise. And another thing that I'm really interested in doing is, you know, like if you go into Madden and you're playing, you know, Madden football, or I guess 2K works too. If you take Nikola Jokic in 2K and he's a center and his overall is like a 95 or something, or a 90, I don't know.
It's probably 88.
Okay. and you change him from a center to like a power forward, he might go from an 88 to like an 86. If you trade him from a power forward to like a shooting guard, he might drop from like an 86 to like a 70 or something, because his talents, his skill sets don't align with that position. We can take a similar approach based off of those offensive usage roles and say, hey, for a player like Danny Green, he's most optimized, or he's not most optimized in his role based off of all of those different variables and off of these weightings we're able to calculate. Mm-hmm. And then also say, hey, I don't know, maybe he's in the 95th percentile for his PIPM in his current role, but if we change him to just be a spot up wing instead of a movement wing, what does that change it to? Things like that. So that could be useful in projecting the impact of players once they change teams and change roles. It'll be a fun thing to play around with, understand who's most optimized, who isn't. And the optimization from a team and a coaching perspective is also part of this analysis. And seeing the weighting spit out for that has been cool to see, because for certain roles or certain types of players, the way your coach uses you will have more of an impact than others. And I mean, we won't give too much away now, but the results align pretty well with what I think a basketball fan would expect, or at least one with a little bit more of an eye towards scheme and the X's and O's of the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think because the grades are working on a talent basis instead of a impact basis, mapping those onto impact does a really good job of blending the two, and coming up with rankings that skew more towards what people think of when they think the best players in the game, which is exciting. And it's looking great. And hopefully this time next week, we'll be talking through that list.
So yeah.
That's something to look forward to.
About Miles Turner, and we'll be talking about Brook Lopez.
Oh yeah.
It'll be fun. And I'm excited for these two, because we'll have players like we've spoken about Brook Lopez or Danny Green, who have very, very high PAPMs. And there's a pretty big differential between those and their actual player talent grades. And I'm interested to see how this will kind of pull them a bit back down to earth in terms of their expected value, just based off of how talented they are.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a really cool tool. And I mean, Tim and I are looking forward to digging into it ourselves. We're hoping some of you guys are as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, why don't we, before we get into our next topic, I know I've been bugging Jacob every day or so about this, and been doing it in between. I've been at a conference all week and just moved to DC, and in between all of my haste and moving from Texas to DC, I made an egregious mistake, and I let the moving company take all of my suits. And I needed some for this during this week to take some professional photos. So I had to run over to Men's Warehouse, buy an expensive suit last minute, wasn't really custom done, and bought it like, I don't know, 9 p.m. for the following day. And one of our sponsors today, Indochino, is a custom suit company. That, you know, every guy looks and feels better and more confident when they put on a good suit. And the one big problem and something I experienced was, you know, guys are buying generic off the rack suits. So that's why Blue Wire is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new suit. And this is something I certainly could have used. These guys they're dedicated to making the world's leading made to measure menswear. They make all your suits, all your shirts, your exact measurements for just an unparalleled fit and comfort. You don't need to, you know, just pick one number and just hope the rest of the measurements fit. Because in reality, your, you know, shoulders and your arms and your torso and all of that isn't all just one number. So they custom do everything. If you're looking to get married, they have tons of options for those looking to buy outfits for their wedding parties. And it's pretty easy to get started. You can visit a stylist at one of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America. It turns out that one of them was actually really, really close to me, and I wish I knew that just a couple days ago. So you can go right in. They'll take your measurements, or you can even measure yourself at home and then shop online at the store. And what I think is really interesting is this week, you know, V-Ball Index listeners can get any premium suit from Indochino for just $369, which is ridiculous to me because I paid quite a bit more than that just for a sports coat. So you can get a full suit, premium, high quality, custom fit to you just by going to their website. That's Indochino.com and then entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. So if I had known about this, I probably could have, you know, measured myself, went on the site, gotten it shipped, or even gone into the store myself and saved some money and had a full suit that fit better, taken some better pictures. So go to Indochino.com, use promo code BlueWire for any premium suit and get that free shipping. Incredible deal, premium made just to get your suit measured. And you know, once you go custom, you can't go back. So that would have been good to know. I'm happy to communicate that to everybody.
Next time, you won't make the same mistake again.
Yeah. And honestly, like $369 is really, really good for a suit.
For a full custom suit? Yeah.
Full custom suit. I'm going to be checking that out.
Yeah. Me too.
Doing some Googling and checking that out.
Absolutely.
And hey, if you can save $100 or $200 from your suit, you know, what we like to do with our extra $100 or $200 is invest in some good old gambling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what we're doing at B-Ball Index. Jacob was just tweeting out, and we spoke about it last week, the odds we have for WNBA in the title. But if you're looking for a place to do that gambling, you can do the smart thing, not just for WNBA, but for football. Even basketball season's around the corner, but it's really football season, and you should really be going to mybookie.com. Fast, easy, and they pay you when you win, which is a good thing to have happen.
That's a problem with some sites.
Yeah. So the cutting you off quickly or not having quick turnarounds or delaying bets. So go to mybookie.com. What's really nice is, you know, for football season, you can make your bets before the game starts. And then once the game starts, if you, you know, finally get back to your apartment or your house and or the bar and you realize, oh shoot, this player was injured, I didn't realize that, I wish I could change my bet, you could bet in game. Or if you're sensing the way that the game is trending and you think you can be really sharp or be really smart and place a bet on one side, you can bet right in the middle of the game, during halftime, during the third quarter, whenever you want. So that's an option with mybookie.com. You can also parlay bets. So you can say, all right, I think, you know, the Panthers will win today, and I also think the game will go over, and then make a lot more money than just by betting each of those individually. So you can do things like that. Join MyBookie now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit just by using promo code BlueWire to activate that offer. So go to MyBookie, it's .ag, not .com. Today, use promo code BlueWire. You pay, you play, you win, and you get paid.
Yeah. Speaking as someone who wishes they'd been able to see the future and known to place a bet against the U.S. in FIBA World Cup, the U.S. has now lost twice in a row. They've been bounced from the tournament. They also are now going to play in the 7-8 place game. I'm not even sure who they're playing against. They lost to France in the semifinals, in the quarterfinals, sorry. They lost by 10 to France in the quarterfinals a couple days ago. And then just this morning, they lost to Serbia in essentially just like a seeding game to see where they rank in the world. It's weird. We finally got the Serbia-USA game we want, but it is in one of the strangest situations possible. Serbia also got upset by Argentina in the quarterfinals, which was equally shocking. And these are probably the two best teams in the world right now, and neither one of them is going to even make the semifinals of the World Cup.
It's that March Madness feel. One game, single elimination. I mean, after we got through the first couple rounds that are like chess tournament-like, where you just mm-hmm. do group stage after group stage. But yeah, both of those top teams getting knocked off. The U.S. not just losing at like the buzzer, but losing by 10 to France is just very disappointing. You can say what you will about the roster and about the guys who aren't there, but from the players we do have there, we spoke about this last week.
We still have the best team.
They still have the best team. Mm-hmm. And we would assume they have very good coaching, and just an issue they may be running into is just the continuity or the lack of cohesion between the players and the lack of practice time. But by now they've played what, a half dozen games before they played France between exhibitions and real games, probably maybe close to 10 games.
Been practicing for a couple of weeks, nearly a month together.
Yeah. At a certain point, it's tough to come up with excuses. It didn't seem like a egregiously called game. It wasn't like we shot 1 for 20 from the 3-point line. We got beat. Mm-hmm. And that's not good. And just a couple days before that, I was DMing you on Slack. And I was like, man, what would the PIPM model say the USA's odds are? Because I don't see a lot of teams out there that I think can beat us. And you responded, they're not as good as what the betting odds are right now. So
yeah, I think they're like -130 to win the tournament at the time. And it was at a point, they hadn't lost to France yet, obviously, but they had been struggling the tournament. It was clear they didn't have the cohesion or just raw talent of teams of the past. Like, let's be clear, this was a really good team. This team would be a 50-plus win team in the NBA if it was an actual basketball team. This is not a group of scrubs we sent to China. They got beat. This is a very talented team, even if it's not our best team, and they just got beat. Like, there's no excuses you need to make for this being a less talented team than before.
Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, if it were full of the top 10 players in the NBA, we probably wouldn't have lost. But
right.
But that's just not where we are. And this team should have won those games, didn't. Now we can start questioning some of the selections, some of those Spurs guys in there who maybe weren't quite, you know, the top, what, 12, 15 guys in the league available. Mm-hmm. Mason Plumlee made the team. Chris Middleton's coming off of a Eastern Conference NBA playoffs and then getting into FIBA play where he's been a little bit disappointing. Joe Harris, probably the best, well, certainly the best sharpshooter on the team, was only getting up three-pointers a game. Whereas, like, Bogdan Bogdanovic, he was shooting 7 a game. And he certainly had the ball more for his team, but you would just hope that the better three-point shooters can have a little bit more generated for them. So it's, I don't know, it was frustrated. Lots of Harrison Barnes, and then Harrison Barnes would have, you know, 5 shots in a game, and then the next game he'd have 20. So it was a funky tournament. Disappointing result, but, you know, lost to some good teams. And there are good international teams out there, and I'm interested to see next year or next time around what the U.S. is going to look like in the, you know,
2020 Olympics. Sure. Yeah,
the group for the Olympics probably will have a lot of turnover from this team.
Yeah,
just based off of the guys who won't turn down an offer. So I don't know if that same fire will be there, or I don't know. You can make up that they'll be angry and they'll want to play better, but I don't know. It should be a better team regardless.
Hopefully. I'm actually curious as to your thoughts on that. If you think the U.S. having such a disappointing outing while having still the best team in the world, but having a less talented team than usual, if that you think that'll fire up people more to join the U.S. next summer in the Olympics, or if you think people are just kind of getting tired of dealing with the struggle of playing internationally right before training camp. Most of these top players after having long playoff runs. So I'm just curious as to what your thoughts on how you think the U.S. players will react next summer.
I think this group of players might be more motivated to right a wrong, but I don't think this group of players losing is going to make somebody who did turn down an offer suddenly, you know, feel some, there won't be like a spark lit there. Mm-hmm. I think for the Olympics are up next, right?
Yeah. Next summer.
So we will have more people accepting the invitation regardless, I would assume.
Presumably.
And to send our better teams to the Olympics. So we will see an increase there one way or another, no matter what this team would have done, mm-hmm. no matter if they would have won the FIBA World Cup or not. But I don't think this team losing this year will have anything to do with how the team next year does. And we've been doing this. It's not like I don't know. It's not like in college football where your team made the college football playoff for the first time and you're trying to figure out how to deal with having a month off. It's not a new thing. The country and some of these players and the coaches, they've done this before. Mm-hmm. So there's not a steep learning curve that I expect us to suddenly catch up on. I just think we just got beat.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I mean, I question if anyone on this team will even be on the Olympic team next summer. Like maybe Donovan Mitchell or Kemba Walker or Jason Tatum are good enough to make it next summer, but I feel like most of this team is, they'll probably get invited to like a select team if they want, but that might be the extent of it.
Yeah, Kemba, Chris Middleton maybe, or Jason Tatum if he keeps getting better. Donovan Mitchell might have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, Harrison Barnes won't make it. Jaylen Brown probably won't make it. Miles Turner
might.
I'd say he has a chance.
Potential to, because he is one of the best American centers.
Mm-hmm.
He's young. He's getting better. He was pretty good in the tournament. He didn't shoot great, but you know he was very good defensively overall. And there's definitely the potential there for him coming back and getting a spot next summer.
Yeah, but even if those maybe two or three guys happen to come back, their roles on the team
mm-hmm.
will probably be more like what Brook Lopez and Mason Plumlee's were, or Derek White, where they're not playing a whole lot. They're coming off the bench. It'll be a different arena, different teams for us, probably similar teams for our opponents. But I don't expect much carryover in a positive or negative way from this experience for that different set of people.
The sky is not falling on the American basketball system. We're going to be just fine.
Yep, possibly. I will say, I've heard from several people I've spoken to from a player development standpoint who have strongly said consistently that in the U.S. we just do not develop players well, as opposed to how other specific other countries do it. And maybe this is some sort of manifestation of that. Where the best players still come to play in the NBA, but in terms of what we're growing in the organic farm system, it's just not quite there. Although I would expect that to permeate more into some of the lower levels than this level. So I'm not sure if this is any symptom of that or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible we'll see some of the effects of that in the coming years, but I would agree at this point it's probably not really the main cause.
Yeah. What they really need to do is fire Pop and Jay Wright and everybody else they've got and hire Coach Cal. get one of these, get Krzyzewski or Calipari in there. It's one of these guys who has to deal with brand new team, getting them to mesh together. I wonder if, and I'm joking, but I wonder if there's anything to be learned from those types of college coaches who deal with the sort of roster turnover that they do for teams like this.
That's quite possible.
Like Pop, in the way his team succeeded, is very fundamentally focused, and they do leverage analytics, but it seems more of like a developed over time mm-hmm. strength, like player development, motion offense. They play with principles, but like his principles guy isn't on the staff. Aitana Messina, like he wasn't with this team.
Those things take a very long time to drill into a group of players. I know Pop has talked about like when he's lost, like Tim Duncan retired, the amount of company knowledge he loses from that makes it a much harder summer for him than in summer camp to reteach the offense to so many new players. And I imagine that's only multiplied when playing with a bunch of guys who have never played together, for the most part at least, and have never played under Pop. So it's an adjustment, but yeah, I think that's everything we've got. You got anything else going on, Tim?
Well, we certainly have a ton going on.
Wow. that we can talk about.
Not a whole lot else to talk about, but we have, you know, it was exciting to see the volume of people who were interested in responding to our call from a couple podcasts ago, and we tweeted about looking for people to come help us out. And we've got some people now getting paid to work on some cool projects, and you as the listeners and readers and viewers of the B-Ball Index brand will get to see the fruits of their labor and the fruits of our labor as early as the next week or two. So absolutely. It's exciting times ahead.
Yeah, it's great to be able to take people doing such brilliant work and help shine a spotlight on that and share it with as many people as possible. But for all of us here at B-Ball Index, for Tim, for myself, thank you for listening. Hope you have a fantastic week. We will see you guys next time.